When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. This is In Liberty and Health, episode number 241. Really looking forward to this conversation. Me and this gentleman have had some back and forths that were pretty awesome because I know he's a big music fan and musician himself, much like myself. And we have a lot in common outside of that as well. So I think it's going to be a really, really cool conversation. Make sure you go hit all the links below to figure out what I got going on, see where you could follow my guest and all that good stuff. And without further ado, let's rock and roll, guys.
What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass. Okay?
I am. All right.
Welcome back, everybody. And today with me, I have Ben Weir. Nice to get you on finally, brother. I know
yes,
I see the comments every here and there. So I'm stoked we finally got to make this happen. How you doing, man?
Yeah, dude, I'm good, man. I'm definitely glad you brought me on. It's definitely like, I feel like it's been overdue, man, because we're both musicians. We both love that side of things. But you're also like based as fuck, too. So I've been like looking forward to getting to have a conversation with you. So.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I noticed that you put up a picture of your tool bench and it was like perfectly neat. And I like
that was not my tool bench, bro.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, now I feel a little better.
I was in somebody's house and they had everything in its spot. And I'm a construction worker. That shit does not happen in real life. Right. I have like a tool bag where I can't find anything. My tool bench downstairs is like everything's anywhere. I have to dig through things to find a tool. This dude was an absolute psychopath. He like outlined every tool in Sharpie and like I was like, if you have a contractor, he said he does handiwork. And I was like, if you have a contractor that does this with their tools, run. Like that is not probably a good handyman.
You know, it's funny. I kind of like dusted it off, but like one of the guys who's a manager at the last job I was at, I first started there back in, 2016, which feels like it was just yesterday. my buddy Billy here, I'm glad he's dropping in the chat. Typical male behavior, we have our tools ever. He's absolutely right. But I remember I had like all my tools laid out real neat in my cart, and I was like perfectly organized. He's like, oh, give it a few years of flat rate. Believe me, that shit will be everywhere. And I'm like, oh, no, I'll be good with it.
Yeah.
Now I look at my toolbox, I'm like, yeah, it's all fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck. Good luck finding what you need.
Yeah, so have you always done construction? You were in the military at one point. I know you like aren't big on talking about that, but like, you know, kind of what was your upbringing like?
Well, my upbringing has been all over the place, dude. I've lived all over the country, kind of raised in Hickville, Pennsylvania, with like a very fundamental Baptist upbringing. I was even a missionary for a couple of years. And then I went into the army. And I was in the army for like a year and a half before I got medically discharged in airborne school. I shattered both my knees. And yeah, like after that, I kind of found my path, you know, and I worked construction now, like a little over, I think it was about 10 years, kind of doing pipelining. And now I'm like, I'm still in pipelining, but I've worked myself into a position where I don't have to like be a foreman and be in the trenches digging holes. Now I'm like a sales lead admin. So I'm selling the construction jobs, which is like way better. I'll go out and make proposals and then it's office work, but I still get to go in the field. It's nice. It's a good balance. And it's something that, I mean, I'm getting older. I'm not old. I'm 34, but like, you know, that shit affects your body, especially when it's like old and broken and you're a musician like me. So,
well, I mean, you shatter your knees, you kind of figured that out. It's your knees aren't going to be as forgiving as they once were. It's kind of funny. The first thing that popped into mind, I had a Marine buddy when I was in the, when I was in college, and he messed up his knee. Now he, you know, had to pin it off like it was in the military, but he went to go see All That Remains. And I think he said that like somebody rolled and it caught his leg and like fucked his knee up. And he said ever since then, he's had knee problems. And I think that for him at the time, I want to say that was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and he was still suffering from an injury like that.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it was not fun. It was basically like I shattered both my growth plates. I landed on like these rocks or whatever. And yeah, it wasn't the first knee problem I had. I also like lost a partial scholarship to play football for college because of that. So like, I broke my leg in 5 places, and I tore my ACL and MCL and PCL, and I was in a wheelchair for several months.
Oh man. Horrible. Well, it's good to see you're still up rocking and rolling, you know.
I'm good, man.
You jumped in on a little tweet session that I had today, because apparently it rubs everybody the wrong way. You can laugh at war criminals crying over their parents' coffin, but if you say fuck trophies, now you're out of bounds. That was what I learned today, which like they're fucking jokes, dude. Come on, get the fuck over it. And yeah, the reason why I said that is because I'm sure you see this just as much as I do. And I used to be on the other side of this, but like the conservative guys will gladly post pictures of their kids. And it's like, your kids are not your brand prop. Your kids are good kids. If they want to be your brand prop when they're adults, let them make that decision. But you shouldn't be making that decision for them. So that's why the saying goes, you know, fuck trophies for clout. You know, you post your kids to make everybody feel like, look how trad I am. Oh,
yeah.
We got the chat.
Hunk hour. Oh, shucks. Shucks.
But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. I mean, like this happens all the time. It's insane to me. Like I was raised in a family that would probably be considered trad. But like if you saw where everybody ended up today, you'd be like, how did your family get so spread out and divided on all of your opinions? And it's like, well, all of this shit was very much so forced on me for a very long time, and all of my siblings, and we're all in like way different spots of life. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, like socializing your children works for some people. And I think that like, you know, I absolutely don't condone it. I wouldn't do that. I'd let my kids, you know, I'd like to say I'd let my kids kind of have more freedom than what most people, that have been arguing with me would say. But at the same time, like, you know, you can guide your kids in the right direction and not be a complete dictator or like, right, you know what I mean? And, you know, with like, and I talk shit about trad values like all the time, man. And it's because like I've been there and I've done that. And it's like one of those things was like, you shouldn't let society define your life like that, like and restrict.
Don't let life happen. Don't let life happen to you.
Yes, like in this is the case for everything. Like you should never let society or religion dictate how you live your life or define your relationships, like determine how you're gonna grow up, because it's never gonna end up the way that you thought it was. Mm-hmm. You know, like out of me and all my siblings who were all raised Christian, like I still call myself a Christian, but I'm definitely not like in the box of Christianity where like, you know, like I'm not like where I used to be. Right. Like I have my own faith. I like that's completely beside, but like half of my siblings are atheists. You know what I mean? And they're just everywhere. you can't like force that stuff on people. They have to like accept this themselves and learn to grow in them things themselves, you know? And it's that case for like literally everything. Like you can't force things on people. This is like libertarianism, like principle, and people still are trying to force their kids to believe certain things, even into adulthood as late teenagers. It's kind of weird. So,
yeah, and like I've been kind of going back and forth with some of the religious people, and like I have nothing against religion, but it's just the idea that like you can't expect everybody else to adopt your religion as well. Like I'm an agnostic person. I'll be the first one to admit I don't know shit about religion.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there is a God. I don't know if there isn't. I have no way of proving either way, but like the people who live religious lives, I know plenty of people who, you know, are fully religious that are great people. And then people religious that can't help but be sanctimonious fucking pricks. And then I know also atheists that are the same way too. Oh, David's dropping it. David knows I like him. We were having a little bit of a rough and tumble today, but he's a good dude. He really is.
David went at it too.
He is David. A very, very good dude. He is a very, very good dude.
David, you're just a little young, brother. Like I'm a cultured person. I was married for 10 years. I'm getting divorced. Like I know about marriage, brother. And I just know you have a long journey ahead of you. And don't shit on libertarianism and our real, like, I think that I had a pretty principled comeback. I know you thought I was coming at you, bro, but I wasn't. So
yeah, at least he's not the person that I think of when I think about sanctimonious preaching. I think of some other
for
people,
sure.
But he's not one of them. But, you know, once again, you know, it's okay to have your own values, but just understand that, like, not every single person on the face of the planet is going to line up with you. Like, I don't expect everybody to respect my views and agree with my views when it comes to relationship stuff. But, like, okay, I know what works for me. I've had, you know, I've dated non-monogamously for a period of time. Like, I wasn't exclusive with anybody. And now I've been married and with the same woman for the last 5 years. And I'm very, very happy in that regards. Not everybody's going to be able to live, like, the same life that I did. That's why I don't, like, you know, say, oh, well, you should do this because this is going to work for you. I don't know. It's the same with nutrition and shit too. Like, I don't know what the fuck diet's going to work for people. So I don't know, like, what way you like being rode to, you know, the highway.
Yeah. Like, food is an individual thing too. Some diets work for people and others don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't want to even compare marriage to eating. And I definitely thought it was pretty cringy that, someone was advocating for, you know, getting a tax break to be married. Like, that's like the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But like, yeah, like, okay. I'm also not going to judge somebody if they decide to go live that lifestyle. Like, I'm a relationship anarchist. Not a lot of people even know what that means. It just means that you're not going to let religion or society dictate what your relationships look like. Like, right. It can literally be what you and the other person decide it to be. It can be open, monogamous, polyamorous. Like, who cares, man? Like, it's an agreement between two people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can go on and, you know, if two super religious people decide they want to get married, and, you know, they're the same religion and it works for them, like, go for it. But, like, truthfully, there's like, I have a lot of like reasons to not get married that have nothing to do with the state that are religious reasons why people probably shouldn't get married. So, I don't know. This is controversial and not really many people would probably agree with me, and that's fine. I just, I have my own opinions because I've been there. I've done that. I have my own experiences. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. He's like probably 3 years ago. What is that? Oh, you have to be trad, like trad high, you know, it's the trad way or no way at all. But, you know, over time, like I said, I've just kind of like loosened on it. Like, you know, whatever people want to do, as long as, you know, both parties kind of enter in the agreement and say like, hey, you know, let's say we want to have an open relationship. As long as everybody's kind of clear from the get-go, then okay, you know, what's really the harm? But, you know, in my opinion, I know I'm a very jealous person, so I know that would not work for me. And my wife would probably feel the same way. So like, okay, well, this works for us. I don't project that onto other people and assume that they're going to have, you know, have the same boundaries. And I think a lot of people just kind of need to realize, like, you know, you're not going to be able to change everybody's mind on this kind of stuff. So if you really want to be a leader, you know, just be very, very happy in everything you do and make sure that, you know, your life is set up the best for you. And then if people like it, then they'll do the same thing. If not, then, you know, just enjoy. You know, we're not here to, you know, use our lives as shining examples for everybody else to follow.
Right. And I mean, I'm not sure like where you and your wife,
yeah,
you and your wife lie, like if you guys are both in the same like plain when in terms of religion, but I do think that like that's important. Like if you're both agnostic or you're both Jewish or you're both like a devout Christian or whatever, like having a like those type of religious values, for lack of a better term, I think like having the same plane there is important because like you can see people that are agnostic and Christian or Catholic and Jewish that try to make things work and like it just doesn't. Like it just doesn't, because like truthfully, religion doesn't promote the idea of like an equal marriage. They really support the idea of like gender roles. And like, that's very trad thing that's been socialized into us, for 100 years, right? Through religion, but also just like in general, you know, you have like the nuclear family, you know, the American dream, the white picket fence, the kids, and the wife that's a home, like, you know, she stays at home and cooks and cleans, you know what I mean? Like, that's something that, that you see through cinema history, right? You know, but then like you can look at things like Buddhism, who like has no religious concept of marriage whatsoever. They understand it's a secular thing, you know? And I've studied a ton of religion. I was like an economics major in college, but I've also like been down the road of like humanities, and I found where I am today when it comes to religion, because I was able to study a lot of things. You know, I might've been raised Christian, and sure, I came back to that, but I found my own way. I'm not restricted to like some kind of denomination. That's, you know, I don't know. It's every religion is so different when it comes to these values too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing that kind of annoys me about a lot of the trads right now is that like, they don't understand when you have these influencers promoting marriage, what they fail to understand is like, you guys are high value guys. So therefore the women that are with you have a lot of incentive to stay with you because you're sharing their wealth with them. For the average guy, like you or me, like I'm sure you and I both do pretty good, but like, you know, there's guys who make less than us, or, you know, may not be as, I hate to say this, but like as attractive as us because they haven't like worked on themselves yeah. or, you know, played music for years and years and years. So they're not really like in a lot of people's eyes. Like, I don't want to say that we're necessarily high value guys, you know, maybe in our own respects, we would all like to believe that.
Forest mommy thinks we're hunks, dude.
well, that means a lot. So, you know, okay. Yeah. So not every guy's going to be a hunk. So therefore when you have trads that are just going out there saying, oh, everybody should go get married because it's the best thing to do. Okay. Well, what happens when, you know, you're that dude who makes 30, 40 grand a year. And then, you know, you go get married because you think that this is the right thing to do. And yes. The next thing you know, you're getting raked over the coals because right. you just thought, oh, well, my influencer said this is the best thing to do. Like, all right.
We're not giving like,
she called us mid, by the way. She said, just kidding.
Mid tier. Who did this?
Yeah, that's Brandy. Brandy. Yeah.
God damn it, Brandy. I am drinking your favorite beverages right now.
But you've tuned into our other show as well.
Yeah, what the hell, Brandy? But yeah, like honestly, like I think the best way forward for people and like advice I would give in terms of like teaching your kids what marriage looks like if you have kids or just in general for society, like, you know, provide them with knowledge, but don't necessarily guide them in a specific direction with that. Like, because, they might not grow up to be religious. I mean, you can try to, you know, influence them religiously or whatever in a non-forcing way, in a non like way that's not going to shove religion down their throat. But, you know, you can definitely like try to point them in the direction of like, yeah, like go get married. If someone makes you happy and that's what you want to do. I truly think that like marriage itself should be kept in a religious circle. I don't think that it should be just something society does. You know, I think it's like, I don't know. I just don't think it's like, if you're not religious, I don't think there's really any point in being married, especially with the state. Like that's just bringing the state into marriage is just evil. But, yeah, I mean, like it's just, keep it within your religion. You know, Catholics can get married, Jews can get married, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists won't get married, but like everyone else can get married, yeah. You know? So, yeah. So,
yeah. Kind of to that as well. I was just bidding on something. What the hell was I going to say? When it comes to raising kids, like I plan to be a father one day, but like, you know, the idea shouldn't be that you have to, you know, constantly instill your values in your kids. Like this, mm-hmm. at least the way that I kind of envision this, like your kids should want to take after you because they admire you so much, like because yeah. you gave them something to admire. It shouldn't be like, I'm going to make you do this. Once again, we want to have people. And I think this goes for relationships too, when it comes to like, you know, a woman wanting to be with you. You don't want a woman that's just kind of like, you know, he's all right, but I'll settle for him. You want somebody that like, hey, I actually enjoy being with this person. I enjoy spending time with this person. Yeah. And I would think you'd want your kids to be the same way. Like, hey, I actually want my parents to be around because like, I give a shit about them. They raised me well and life is good because of them. But like, I feel like if you're just constantly telling your children what to do, how to think, and you know, how to live their lives, then I think they'll grow yeah. to resent you because of that.
And kids should have the serious upbringing, like with their parents, where their parents are teaching them that like marriage, if that's the route you decide to go, it's like a fucking serious thing. Like this is a religious thing and this is a spiritual thing. So like, yeah, if you want to be married, but understand that it comes with these other spiritual, you know, things as well. You know, like I said, general public probably shouldn't even be talking about marriage if they're not religious whatsoever. But I'm also not going to like shit on people who get married. I've been there. I guess I'm a hypocrite because I was a relationship anarchist this entire time. But, you know, it's just how it is, man. You know, like you live and learn. I'm 34 now. I'm in better, I'm in a good headspace and I'm trying to live my best life. And, I've come to this part in my life and in my path where, you know, I'm pretty confident in what I'm saying. I'm speaking from experience. So
yeah,
hopefully somebody will take that advice someday.
Oh, so Benzo Barbie says that the high noon sounds homosexual. I've actually never had one. Can you describe a high noon to me?
I mean, like, it's like a better tasting White Claw. It is pretty gay.
Gotcha. So, okay. Yeah. So I'm totally on board with it.
Dude. Okay. Like I said, I've been living my best life, right? Like, so the last like month or so, I've been going to concerts like 2-3 times a week, like just out all the time, just having a great fucking time.
Yeah.
Dude, I down in my last bottle of whiskey and this is all I've got left. So bear with me while I get through the high noons a little bit. You know, I don't have scotch or whiskey or any bourbon. That's my go-to.
All right. Not, okay. What are some of your go-tos on those that you just mentioned?
Glenfiddich 15 year is pretty good. Yes. I do like in terms of like just like cheap shit, I get like, you know, Famous Grouse is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I love fucking Wild Turkey, bro. I mean, I love Wild Turkey.
I got some in my fridge right now.
Honey Wild Turkey is great too. Mm-hmm. That is some good shit. And then there's like one, there's this one whiskey that you can only get pretty much in Colorado and Wyoming. And, it's like a cinnamon clove whiskey and it's perfect. Like I'm a hunter. So like in the fall and winter time, I'll like have some in my flask and I'll take it with me. Oh, yeah. It's like Christmas in a bottle, dude. Like I can't even explain to you. Like I could drink the entire bottle in one sitting. It's that good. And it's obviously not good for me. Like I could probably die, but, but it's really fucking good whiskey. So it's just Ledoux. He used to be like a country singer, I guess. I don't know shit about country music, but like, he makes some bomb whiskey, man.
So, let's see. You aren't a real man unless you drink whiskey. The Bible probably. Benzo said that's Genesis probably. Yeah, I am a little bit of a Crown guy, like Crown, Jameson. Maybe I'm lame for that. I was just drinking Wiggle Peach, Wiggle Whiskey, which is a brewery out of Pittsburgh here. I love their stuff. And then my wife and I were just down in Ocean City, Maryland a couple weeks ago. And the Seekers Distillery has some pretty good whiskey as well.
Seekers Distillery?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, cool. Otto keeps inviting me down for their crab broils from Punk Rock Libertarians. I want to go to one of those someday.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I know. I don't know if you know who Tommy Sammons is, but he's like a big, he's more of like a stoner metal kind of fan. He runs the Zero podcast. And he sent me pictures of like some of the crab boils that they do down there in Texas. And like, I'd love to go to Childerberg and just hang out with everybody. Cause I'm like, man, this is like where all my friends go. And like, I have not got to go and do it.
I'll go to Childerberg with you next year, dude.
All right. Yeah, dude. Sounds like a deal.
Force Mommy's invited. You're all invited. Let's make this a party.
Yeah, we'll have a big old party. And my thing is, we host the Rock for Life events here in Pennsylvania. And like my thing is to just chase everybody down with a flask of Crown or a bottle full of Crown. It's like, hey, man, I used this last year. Come on. Let's do a drink. Yeah, sure. You know all about that stuff. So, I guess kind of pivoting over to music, that makes a good pivot.
Sure.
What were kind of like some of the bands that you listened to growing up that kind of got you to where you're at now?
I mean, music kind of like guided my political opinions when I was a teenager. I started really early listening to MXPX, which to this day is like my favorite band. just because I've loved them for so long. Mm-hmm. But I listened to like Minor Threat, you know, like The Descendants, NOFX, Sum 41. Getting into my high school years, obviously, like all these punk bands, like, you know, Sum 41 or, you know, like bands like that, you know, MXPX. I loved Showbread and Emery, kind of more on the emo side of things. Thrice. I like metal too. I love hardcore. I love the band. Like Terror is like a great fucking band. Yeah. I've actually just saw Trivium not too long ago with Beartooth. I've
seen them 9 times.
They're great.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Day to Remember, stuff like that. So yeah, like all these bands are great. You know, I'd say like influence wise is definitely more on like the Anti-Flag type stuff. Stuff that just like absolutely hates the politicians. And it turns out like eventually, like they actually don't really, they just hate one side of the politicians. They don't hate all of them. but you know, it's, that's kind of where I started out. And then I learned to play, started playing bass when I was 11. And moved into guitar in high school. And, you know, I wrote songs all through that time. And then once I got out of the army, I kind of just was like, I'm going to start a band. So, started a project and based out of Denver, Colorado. And, it was fun. We got to play a lot of really cool shows and festivals. We played at Vans Warped Tour in 2015. I played festivals with A Day to Remember and Korn and Stone Sour. You know, A Day to Remember, like all kinds of bands like that. And it was a great time. This is my social peak for sure. I'm trying to get that back if I can. But, you know, that lasted about 8 years or so. I mean, 2020 was the last show that I played with my full band, which was in Denver at the Marquee Theater. It was sold out, which was fun. It was like 550 people packed. And then like, obviously the pandemic happened or whatever. And all the venues basically shut down. They started having all kinds of crazy policies. Our practice space wasn't letting people practice there anymore. I was living in another state at that time. I was flying back to Denver twice a month to rehearse and practice and get ready for shows, record all that stuff. Which it was kind of a pain in the ass, obviously, but it was, I loved to do it. So I made it work. And then, you know, while all that shutdown happened, one of my guitarists ended up moving to Florida and getting like 5 dudes from 3 different states together just as like functionally impossible, you know? And so I'm not going to roll out the possibility. We never even like said our band is done, but like, it just was, you know? So
I kind of know what you're getting at. Yeah. And with those bigger shows, now you could correct me because you played bigger shows than me. The biggest show I ever played was the opener for Steel Panther that we did.
Oh, dude, July. I love them. They were on one of the festivals I played.
Oh, shit.
I got pictures with those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. They're cool as fuck. Yeah. We got to meet them, but like most of the other bands, like we opened for Stephen Piercy, Firehouse, like some other 80s bands, Lita Ford, we opened for her twice. You don't really get to meet them, unfortunately. Steel Panther, we got to hang out with, but like that was such a weird show. It was September of 2020. And like people, the venue had it so like you could stand in front of your vehicle without a mask on, but if you went beside it, you had to wear a mask. Or if you were walking up and down, and it was outside, mind you. And like, I think it was right in the same area where Trump held his rally in 2020 in Butler. It was an awesome show though. Over 1,000 people. And, you know, of course Steel Panther goes up and let's just say I saw a lot of tits that night, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. They're party animals, dude. They're really cool people too. They're like, they're absolutely wild animals, but like, backstage they're super down to earth. They're still wild as hell, but like, you know, they'll hold the door open for you and shit, which is nice.
So did you get to meet anyone like from Korn or A Day to Remember? Was it just kind of like,
hey, yeah, I've got like pictures with like Brian Head Walsh from Korn. You know, Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour. You know, I've met him. I mean, like when I was played at Warped Tour, like I got to meet a ton of like my favorite artists, which was nice. I've made, you know, connections through the years, obviously. And I don't really like obviously I haven't talked to them in a long time, but I probably still have some of their numbers somewhere. And, you know, I wanted to try to get them to Pork Fest or something, I'm going to try to make that happen actually. So,
yeah, well, I guess that serves as a decent pivot as well to the emo caucus and your candidate of Franz. So good. let the audience know a little bit about that. I listened to you on another podcast talk about it, but I think this whole situation is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, man. So, you know, early on in this year, it was, I think it was April, maybe it was late as June. I'm just looking at our presidential candidate nominees and I'm like, dude, this is bad. Shit. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? So I'm like, well, we need to fucking recruit. So I made a status in the emo caucus group on Facebook. And I was like, or I made a post. Can anyone in here run for president and represent the emos, please? And Josh Smith said he would, but then, like, you know, I messaged him a little bit and he was like, like, you know, he never really got back to me at one point. So I was like, okay, well, maybe he forgot, maybe he got other stuff going on. Well, then Pork Fest happened at the end of June and I met Toad in real life for the first time. And that dude's like the funniest dude ever. I love Toad. And he's like, I'll do it. I'll represent the emos. I was like, okay, cool. We're going to do this. So we did, we announced it. And then shortly after, Josh Smith announced that he was going to run. And then, I had also back before all of this, I had reached out to some better known, like, musicians that are libertarian leaning or call themselves libertarians. And, I was like, do you guys want to run for president under the Libertarian Party ticket? Sounds crazy, but like, where the fuck you vote, you know, let's do it. And it took a little bit of time, but Franz got back to me and we started, you know, texting a little bit and I got his, like, you know, platform, which I've been horribly busy. I was just in Alabama, but I'm working on his website right now and trying to get that up and running with his platform. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, he was like, dude, I'm in. And this dude's like a libertarian. He calls himself a libertarian. You know, he's got some takes that, you know, people obviously would disagree with. And that's fine. I'm not like campaigning for people to try. I mean, I would love for him to win the nomination, but I'm a realistic person. But same time, like, you know, I think that he's got an audience that's bigger than anybody else that we have. And so why are we trying to scare this dude away? Why can't we like use that and amplify our message at the same time? And while we're doing that, use this as a liberty to metal scene or emo scene pipeline for people who are already anti-government in the music scene to come into the party and find the fuck you vote. Find the party that represents more of their values than most people even realize. You know, like, I think that this has been like, my vision for the emo caucus since I started it. And I, like, people kind of saw it as like a kind of a joke at first, but like, no, I'm fucking dead serious, man. Like, the music scene is filled with anti-authoritarian, anti-government people who don't want to be told what to do, who, you know, are, you know, pro free speech and bodily autonomy and all this stuff. They just don't know where to go. Obviously there's a lot of woke people that come with that too, but, you know, there's a ton of people that have nowhere to go. And who are they voting for? Probably nobody, to be honest with you. Like, they're probably just not voting.
A lot of them voting Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so that's where I'm at. That's like, my goal and my mission is to try to like have this pipeline between the music scene and the Liberty movement. I mean, I'm not even like saying they have to be in the Libertarian Party and be a member. I just want them to be libertarians, lowercase L, you know what I mean? And I'll give them the seed and someone else can water it. And hopefully they turn into the only real libertarian to ever exist. So,
yeah, I think we're all still striving for that title there. Yeah. But kind of come to think of it, I remember in 2020, I'm like, man, like, wouldn't you think that you would want as many musicians as possible to speak out about this? Because like, this is mm-hmm. their livelihood.
Yeah.
And I know I watched you on Swamp Creatures this morning to mm-hmm. kind of hear some of the stuff that you were talking about. And I dig that you plugged my debate with Duke and Toad on there. But apparently Franz had a lot of pressure on him. And this doesn't sound like something impossible, or like, it sounds like the usual thing in the music scene. So like my buddy Shooter McKevin that has been on the show, and he plays for Into the Flood out of Washington. He said that like, man, if you have like the wrong views in the music scene, you maybe like, you could get fucked. They will drop you in a heartbeat.
Like literally, like we're talking about bands that make their livelihood. And I mean, with Franz, like, I'm not going to make any excuses for like a bad take during COVID and selling merch that said stupid shit. I don't defend it. I wouldn't have done it for sure. But at the same time, like, I don't know what it's like to have three kids and at the same time be a full-time touring musician that that pays a lot of your bills. You know, I mean, you're touring 9 months out of the year at least. You know, and all these venues are saying like, you can't play here and you can't make money unless you get a shot. Like, I don't know what that's like. I haven't experienced it, you know? And I guess I give some leeway with that, but at the same time, like, I understand where libertarians are, and with some of the things that he said or his actions he took, like, you know, he didn't exercise civil disobedience and, you know, sure, call him out on it. It's fine. Put yourself in those shoes though. Like, I'm sure a lot of us would have probably said no, but like, I don't actually know that to be true. I don't know if that's true. Maybe you wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like he's kind of learned from those takes ever since. I know which ones you're talking about because I've seen people share the tweets, and it's like, okay, yeah, he kind of deserves to have his balls busted a little bit, but like, I don't know. Like, if you talk to him now, like, people were on Spike about the whole transforming the kids stuff with puberty blockers. And then he came out and said, oh no, like, I'm actually against this because I got better. Not like I learned more about this, and people just like, won't let it go. And to me, that's such bullshit. Like, if somebody, you know, has genuinely displayed that, like, hey, I thought this, now I think this, and because of this, I can give ground there. But like, you know, when people just like, you know, totally do it just out of like expediency, and you can tell when people do it out of like a genuine change of belief.
For dude, like, here's the thing is, like, I get caught in this trap too. Like, I've been a gatekeeper. You know, like, people will just pile on to somebody and bully them, try to bully them out of the movement. You know what I mean? I've been actually like a part of that. And I got like some of it I don't really feel great about, but like some of it I'm like, yeah, like I kept the fight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fucking loser out of the party. Sure. Like, this dude wasn't even a fucking libertarian.
Yeah.
But same time, this dude calls himself a libertarian, and he is very pro 2A. He's pro free speech. He's anti-cancel culture. You know, he's against transing kids. He's got like a lot of fucking really base takes. You know, he wants to end the wars and all this shit. You know, you're not going to align with him 100% of the way. Like, we're not going to bring in a celebrity that is 100% there. Like, it's just not going to happen. But if you want to have your message of liberty, you know, amplified on that kind of platform, you should harpoon those motherfuckers. Like, harpoon them and put them under your wing and, you know, teach them, make them smarter, like, make them read a fucking book. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's why it's good to have somebody like you, from what I understand, working with him on his campaign, to so that way you kind of say, like, you know, he could run something by you. And I kind of ran this past Angela when she was on the show last, like, hey, maybe there's a good idea for like anti-war stuff. Maybe have like some of the guys from the Libertarian Institute or antiwar.com on like an advisory board. So like, before you put out a tweet or before you make like a press release, you know, run it by the guys, like, hey, is there anything we missed in here? You know, is there a fact here that we have wrong or something like that? You know, and especially when you have like a presidential candidate with somebody, you know, message somebody that, you know, that's more knowledgeable about an issue. Like, hey, I'm not too sure about this. Fill me in on what I'm missing, so that way I don't stick my foot in my mouth unnecessarily.
Yeah. I mean, and so this is kind of like breaking news. I've never like talked about this on any kind of podcast or whatever, but you know, I'm coming up with basically a network of musicians, and I have people in the party that are, you know, have influence that are helping me with this, and that have helped really kind of like open the door to the music scene and stuff. Where if cancel culture were to prevail, we could still have our music scene and they wouldn't be shut down. So that's, I mean, you know, you can always say like, oh, venues can decide what they want to do. But like, if we have a community of well-known musicians that are on board to stand up against this shit and just in kind of like an alliance, you know, a like a countercultural alliance, basically, to, you know, if shit hit the fan again with COVID, like we could still do cool shit and have shows and not have to worry about all this stuff. That would basically make them cancel proof. Like if they could still do their shows and have fun, you know, like in the same way that, like, you know, there was a lot of artists that pushed back against that stuff, but there certainly wasn't enough. You know what I mean? Like the music scene was just littered with people that just followed suit, because we're not talking like thousands of dollars. We're talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or even for some of these people, millions of dollars. So, you know, people like Ronnie Radke from Falling in Reverse, you know, this dude, but to be fair, Ronnie Radke is based as fuck. And, he's basically cancel proof at this point. So,
yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of funny. Literally looking over to my right here, I could see it. I wish I could put it on screen, but there is a poster from a show that we were supposed to play March 28th of 2020. And this was after like my band released our CD February of 2020. And like our CD release show.
That's a rough time.
it was in Mr. Smalls, which is like a decent sized venue, but we were in the Funhouse and it was packed wall to wall. And I'm like, this is our year. We had festivals all Feel the Fire Fest in Ohio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Carolina Rebellion. It wasn't like the big one, but it was a bigger one down in the Carolinas that we were supposed to play. And I think we had like a couple other bigger shows all lined up. I'm like, man, this is going to be so badass. And then like literally a month later, it's like, oh no, all these shows.
By the way, all the festivals are done. Yeah. We're not doing that this year.
Or next year. Yeah. So fucking bad. Just like, I bet. We're gonna be outside, and I understand at first they probably should have just said, hey, this is a later date, we'll see what happens. But no, dude, just everything got canceled. Like, that's such fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah, it is bullshit. And you know, hopefully, you know, I've already got a pretty good squad of well-known musicians that are part of this, and once I have like a group of like this group solidified, I'm gonna like let mid-tier and local bands be a part of it. Like, I just want as big of a network as possible for people that are, you know, like-minded and want to push back against this stuff. That's like separate from the emo caucus, but you know, it's still very much so tied in with my mission for the emo caucus as well. So
yeah, well, you know what, you know, just as well as I do, when it comes to like these smaller shows for bands that are like national acts, but they may not be like, I don't want to say like a Metallica, but like a Trivium, who would sell out like a Stage A, which is like a 6,000 person venue. To have a network like this where you already have like a built-in kind of audience for certain areas. So like, let's say here in Pittsburgh, one of the shows, like some of those, or some of the places that like the smaller bands would go to, maybe like Mr. Smalls or like the Club Cafe or
Gurgles. Yeah, dude, I've played a venue in Pittsburgh.
Are you thinking of the Altar Bar?
Moose or something?
The Moose, the Smiling Moose. That's it.
Smiling Moose. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you have venues like that where, you know, you already have like a built-in audience with this kind of deal. So like these acts who, even if they're not canceled, they can reach out to, you know, your kind of group and say like, hey, we're playing here and these are going to be our rules. Even if there's like lockdowns or something like that again, which, you know, let's hope to God there's not, we're fucking doing it anyways. We want all you guys to show up. You know, it's good just to have a network of people that like, you know, they're going to be there to cover your ass.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, I can't imagine if I was like about to go on a tour and play all these big festivals. Like I wasn't really planning to do that in 2020. But every idea of possibility got completely shut down that year. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, we were just planning to release constant music. I've still got music that's completely mixed and mastered. That's ready to release from my old band that we just never even put out, because it's like, okay, this is just dead. You know, I'll probably put it out at some point just for shits and gigs, but at the same time, you know, it's pretty crappy what all that stuff ended up doing to the music scene. It just killed so many music venues too, like just shut down permanently because they couldn't pay their bills when things were shut down. Festivals shutting down and not happening anymore. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, I think I talked to some people about this before, but it seems like there's more and more festivals popping up because I think it's harder and harder for smaller bands to tour, which is like fucking killer. And I remember like the moment that this really seemed to be reality for me. I'm sure you know who Light the Torch is, you know, with Howard Jones. When they said like, hey, we can't really afford a tour bus, so we kind of have to drop off this tour. I'm like, oh, so this shit's serious. Like bands really don't have like the same opportunities that they used to. And you know, as much as I hate to say Gene Simmons was kind of right, but I mean, you know, he kind of had a point when he's saying like there's not going to be another Metallica, another Pantera, or you know, insert bigger band here. It's going to look different, but like
it is. Yeah,
they're not going to be as big as they once were anymore, just because I don't want to say it's like saturation, but just like it's just different.
I don't think it's saturation, man. I think like right. Just even on, in terms of like purchasing music, it's completely yes. different. Nobody buys music anymore. That used to be like merch. The sole way bands would survive was like you'd buy their album, like, oh shit, this is coming out this day. I'm going to go get their CD or right. their cassette or whatever. Now, like bands have to survive on touring and merch. That's mm-hmm. it. You can't survive on streaming. You're getting like like 1/10,000th of a penny per stream or something like that. Right. It's crazy. It's just not practical either, but you know, there's ways, but dude, for bands like mine or bands like yours, like if you want to make a living, you have to invest every dime that you make right back into your project. Like you have to wait until you get to that level where like you're selling out tours to really be able to make, call it a career. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It sucks, but that's just the truth nowadays. Back in the day, like people were blowing up mm-hmm. when the internet thing. I don't know if you remember Pure Volume. Did you ever use Pure Volume? Mm-mm. Dude, Pure Volume was like the first music website where I'd go to just like download the newest stuff. They'd have like artists of the week.
Okay,
they'd
give you free
downloads. You know, that's where first learned about the band Escape the Fate. And then like, you know, they put out one of their songs on there and then they just fucking blew up. It's like every time they had like one of the first songs they downloaded on there were like, they were like nobody. The Fray, How to Save a Life, before that song was even released to the public. Wow. And yeah, like that's the type of shit I'm talking about though. That can't happen. I mean, it could happen, I guess, but we've chosen to ruin music for everybody.
Yeah, dude, it's so sad because like some of my most cherished moments, I was listening to Gwar a lot lately, and that my first show was Gwar, Job for a Cowboy, and Lamb of God. So it was actually Job for a Cowboy, Gwar, and then Lamb of God. I was 15 years old. I will never forget, and I'm sure you probably have this moment too. It was at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Amphitheater, which my wife and I were just down somewhere getting dinner where this venue used to be. And it's a soccer field now, but like, I'll never forget seeing the stage and then like all the fences and everything and like the smells and the feeling of the ground shaking beneath you when a band's playing, and then turning the corner and seeing the band playing and just like the feeling, the very first time of just feeling like how loud it was. And ever since that, I was hooked. And then just I'm still watching videos of Lamb of God playing Walk With Me in Hell at that show in 2009, which doesn't feel like, you know, 14 years ago, but like I'll never forget as long as I live.
Jesus, 2009 was 14 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah,
dude, I mean, for me, I think like my moment was, you know, I always listened to music. But you know, 2005 was my first like festival type experience. I went to Warped Tour for the first time and I saw like all of my favorite bands that year. And I'm like, this is it. This is, I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I did everything I could to try to become Mike Herrera from MXPX. And, you know, I started being like a singer and a bassist in my first band, little pop punk band. And then eventually progressed into more of like an alternative, you know, heavier, emo-ish rock band. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, no, dude, I got you. I just love watching live videos, and like people who aren't into music like you and I probably don't get it, but like a band that comes to mind was Four Today playing at Warped Tour. I never got to see them, but yeah, their video of them playing Devastator.
Natty Montgomery, like, dude, man. yeah, dude.
They're so sick. And I just started
I played a festival with him in California one time.
Oh my.
Yeah, oh, dude. They're so cool, but they're like, he ended up like, I think going off to be a preacher. I don't even know if he's still doing that, but yeah, For Today, man, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Very long time.
I was listening to them a lot last year, but I'll never forget watching that video of them playing Devastator live. I'm like, I couldn't imagine being there and just, you know, right at the beginning when they started hitting the drums and shit, just like feeling that in your chest. Yeah. And I'm sure you've played festivals too, where like, for me, it was really weird when we played that show with Steel Panther. And I remember my drummer hitting the snare and feeling it in my chest. I'm like, oh, this is how it feels to be on that side. Yeah. Like, it's wild. Like, for people listening, like, you can't imagine the feeling of like hitting a note and feeling it. Like, you could turn your amp up pretty loud, but to be on a stage and looking out to thousands of people
ask me all the time, man, like, don't you get stage fright? And I'm like, absolutely not, man. Like, no. This is like probably the most confident you'll ever see me is when I'm on a stage. I just feel like I own the entire venue. Like, that sounds cocky as fuck, dude, but like, I'm a lead singer. Like, right. I interact with the crowd consistently. Like, it's all about, you know, having that, you know, genuine connection with the audience. You're there to entertain them and I'm here to provide it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you feel it. You feel it inside. You feel the people connecting with you, right. You know, as you're doing this in real time too. Like, you know, they're singing your words, looking you in the eyes, having a fucking good time, jumping when you say to jump. Like, it's not a feeling you can really describe to people, but I've never been nervous on stage. I've been nervous leading up to the stage, but like, as soon as I get there, I'm just like,
it clicks.
This is my, this is what I need to do. You
know what I mean? Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I remember, when we were, you know, playing for Steel Panther, and like, I was nervous up until that point. And then as soon as we started going, I'm like, oh no, this is just like, you know, just like practicing. And it's so weird seeing videos, like people all the way in the back or something like that, and they're zooming in on you. I'm like, oh, that's me doing that right now. Like, it doesn't even feel real. But then like, when you're done with it, you're like, wow. And then you're just like, all right, when do we get to do this again?
Right. Right. No, man, it's the best. I'm actually starting a new project here in New Hampshire. And it's going to just be more the type of music that formed my political opinions. I'm calling it revolutionary punk rock. You know, I think that we need more music. Like, I was very hopeful that the shutdowns and the COVID stuff that happened a couple years ago would just amplify the punk scene and make it just, you know, fucking make anti-government music again.
Sorry, buddy of mine. Yeah, I'm filming some stuff for The Used. That is fucking awesome.
I love
He's my buddy, Kevin. He plays for End of the Flood out of Washington, like I was saying earlier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does all sorts of video work. He also does video work for a little guy named Jared Dines, if you've heard the name.
Absolutely, dude. I know Jared Dines. So, yeah. No way.
Yeah, no swear way. To God.
That's
yeah,
awesome, man.
Yeah. He
plays, yeah,
I know he plays some like Diablo stuff with him too. So, yeah, anyways, you're starting, the band's called Pine Tree Riot that you were starting, right?
Pine Tree Riot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, the idea behind Pine Tree Riot is the event in history called Pine Tree Riot. And, not a lot of people know about it. It happened in Ware, New Hampshire. But it's basically one of the events that led up to the Boston Tea Party and the Revolutionary War. You know, the royals overseas, they were like, any tree that's bigger than 10 inches in diameter, you have to pay us a tax on. That's our tree. And in Ware, they weren't paying their tax. So they sent the constable or whatever, the deputy or whatever it was, over at that time to try to arrest the owner of the lumber mill. And when that happened, it just did not go over well. Like, there was a huge riot that ensued. They threw the constable or deputy in prison overnight. and they burned all of the lumber that they had. So I'm like, and this happened right before the Boston Tea Party. So just like, it was an act of rebellion that basically told the Royals like, oh, we have a problem here. You know what I mean? So I want to like bring that energy to this project and, you know, let these fucking assholes in the government know they have a fucking problem. They have a fucking problem that's brewing right now. Mm-hmm. I want to start that fire, man. I want to get this thing going and make punk rock based in anti-government again. Fuck the shit that's coming out today. I mean, I love some of it, but like same time, like we need some anti-government punk rock. That is what we need today, and we don't have any. So
yeah, fucking make punk actually like punk again, like defiant. And it's funny because like you see these right wingers trying to make music, and I'm sorry, but like the MAGA rappers are just so cringy. And like my problem with a lot of like the kind of outward politically music is that like you put such a shelf life on it, because like when you talk about people's dates and specific times, then like I said, you put a shelf on it, and now, you know, it doesn't necessarily like last the test of time because it's not like a theme. It doesn't give people something to like hold on to, where like almost you'd like this kind of vagueness in it because you can let people fill it with their hopes and dreams essentially. But like that's also very important. That's why a song like Fortunate Son, as much as I like don't give a shit about Creedence Clearwater Revival, that song survived the test of time because it was a theme at the time. And it, you know, it continues on down the line. That's why I like Rage Against the Machine, despite the fact that like Rage for the Machine now, their stuff is about a theme of being defiant to government.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, like I said, I loved Anti-Flag in high school. You know, bands like Flowbots, which were based out of Denver. I was like, oh, these guys are dope as fuck. You know, and Rage too, you know, I listened to Rage obviously. And then, you know, there was a year where like all three of those bands together played the Democratic National Convention. Like you can't make this shit up, man.
L's in the chat, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like F.
CCR over is better than Creed or better than emo. I'm not feeling it, bro. I'm sorry.
Adam Choit, brother. You better hope that I don't ever have a emo night DJ set in Los Angeles, bro, because I'm going to like play some CCR for you and it's going to ruin the entire crowd's vibe. Nobody will agree with that.
Turn the lights on at the very end of it.
Yeah. Like I'm the song at the request of this fucker guy over here. And it's going to be, you know, Fortunate Son. And they're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? This is an emo. This is dumb. I love CCR, by the way. There's so many other good songs, but same time, emo obviously is the superior musical genre in terms of this, at least. So,
okay, so I guess I want to run through a couple of the typical metal questions. And I know you're a little bit more into the emo stuff, but like,
no, you're good. I love metal too.
Okay, yeah. Good. So, when it comes to like Metallica versus Megadeth, who you got?
I mean, Megadeth.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, I like Megadeth. Metallica's good, but the drummer's not good.
So one thing that made me know that I married the right woman is that like she doesn't give a shit about metal music. And I think I told you when we were talking before you came on the show that we went and saw Metallica and Pantera, and then also saw Pantera like a couple weeks before we went and saw Metallica and Pantera out in New Jersey. And I originally thought she would have been partial to Metallica just because they're not quite as aggressive as Pantera. And we were walking out of Metallica the first time. I said, all right, I think I know your answer to this, but I'm not 100% sure. Who do you like more? And she said Pantera. I'm like,
nice.
I did it right.
Nice. Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, like Megadeth's definitely better than Metallica. Like Metallica is more radio friendly. I'll give that to them. They definitely have the radio appeal to them. So they're going to be more commercialized. But I mean, like, come on, man! Like, how can you not appreciate the shred of Megadeth?
Yeah. Okay. So, like I kind of grew up on like the early 2000s metalcore, so like Trivium, Killswitch Engage, All That Remains, Shadows Fall, God Forbid. What are your opinions on kind of like the, is they dub it the new wave of American heavy metal? The band's kind of like in that sect.
Would you say like, I mean, who would you consider to be there? Like, would you consider Beartooth to be in that spot? Because they're still kind of old.
Blown up around the early 2000s. Like, I like Beartooth, but like, the bands I kind of listed off there are kind of the ones that like, I initially, like the bands who were huge and really kind of hitting their stride in like 2000 to 2005. Because like in 2002, you had Alive or Just Breathing from Killswitch Engage.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Too. It was kind of crazy. A buddy of mine who I think is a couple years older than you, I would say he's like 40 now. And I remember him telling me, I remember seeing Mudvayne and Avenged Sevenfold, and people were sitting on the floor for Avenged Sevenfold. And like, I watched a video of them playing when they were touring on Wake in the Fallen, and they were so good. I'm like, man, people are sitting on the floor for this, and now like they can't wait to go see them for the shit they're playing now. Not that I like dislike the stuff now, but like Wake in the Fallen was like, in my opinion, their peak. Like that was the most raw, brutal fucking Avenged Sevenfold there was.
I mean, my over to answer your question,
yeah,
it's all rock and roll to me, man. But like at the same time, at the same time, you know, I obviously like I have my preference towards nostalgia. So, you know, I thrive on nostalgia. That's my stuff right there. You know, like Bullet for My Valentine, even, you know,
yes, you love them.
You know, they're so good. But yeah, I would say like the new stuff is good, but the old stuff is definitely better. And I don't know why that is. It's definitely probably because of nostalgia. Like I can't like give you an algorithm for what makes a good song for this, but like their shit just sounds better. It's more appealing to me. I'll listen to that on Spotify all day before some of the new stuff. Same time with like the actual hardcore scene, yes. Like the, oh yeah. Nice. That's
fucking awesome.
Yeah. So the hardcore scene, you know, like the bands like Terror, you know, Jesus Peace. I just saw Jesus Peace in Terror this weekend, and oh my god, dude, Furnace Fest was fucking wild, bro. Like there's this like this huge shed, bro, and you're talking thousands of people packed into there on a concrete floor.
Yeah.
And, there was like no barrier, people just jumping up on stage and jumping out there, and dude, I can't even explain the excitement I get when I'm at a hardcore show like that. Like, this is like, I'll listen to this stuff to calm me down. And, you know, people don't understand that, but like, unless you've been in that situation, right, and you like, you enjoy the music and you go to the shows, like you'll get it, man. Like it's
so hard to describe because like people call my music angry music. I'm sure you probably get the same thing, but I'm like, this makes me happy. Like I feel motivated. Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. Even the stuff with Mike Terry, those two albums that they did with Mike Terry are phenomenal. Nothing Personal. And then the self-titled, which I think was 2007 and 2010. I want to say those two albums were fucking amazing. And then obviously their first two, especially the second one, I forget what the second one was called, but it was like mostly around like, I want to say like Rapunzel stuff or something like that. It was all like poetry stuff, but it was so fucking brutal.
Well, on the Friday I got to catch some of Hatebreed. Hatebreed was fucking fantastic. Fuck too.
Yeah.
But dude, one of my favorite parts of the entire weekend, I went to mostly see Showbread and MXPX. Norma Jean, bro.
Breakdown. I'm not that familiar with Norma Jean, but they're really good. But Beauty and the Breakdown is the album I was thinking about. Sorry about that. Yeah. So Norma Jean,
dude, like absolutely the craziest fucking set I have seen at this entire festival. They were so good. And then the singer came out and I went to like the after party, which was, they did an emo night in Birmingham, right, Alabama. And Corey, who's the singer for Norma Jean, he comes out and dude, he starts playing Counting Worms by Knocked Loose, which I don't know if you know that song. Fucking brutal, dude. It is just brutal. You have like the entire, like all these like fucking like little girls singing Paramore. Then all of a sudden, all the fucking 35, 40-year-old dudes come out there. And we're just fucking wrecking people, right? I have this all on video. On my video, I caught, like, there's this chick that was, like, dancing. She tried to go into the middle of, like, a mosh pit. This was not a fucking mosh pit. This was, like, absolute demolition. And she's, like, trying to dance her way through a mosh pit. This dude just fucking wrecks her, dude. And I was like, ooh, that's rough. But I'm glad I caught it on video because I've been watching it on repeat. It's fucking hilarious to me.
I remember watching videos of Machine Head. And I want to say it was when they were playing one of the big European festivals and they were doing a wall of death. And this girl was standing in the middle just with her middle fingers up and then just gone as soon as they fucking let it rip.
Kevin had a point in the chat which says, same with the Chariot. The Chariot is like one of my top favorite bands of all time when it comes to this scene. They are so good, dude. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen a live Chariot show or like watched it, a video of them on YouTube, like you're missing. Like there's videos of them like playing on roofs and shit. Like they're so good.
Yeah. So it kind of makes me upset. I never saw Dillinger Escape Plan, which I'm sure you're familiar with them too. But their singer Greg used to like climb on shit. And there's all sorts of pictures of him. His face is all bloody and shit. I like know these bands, but I have not given them like a good chance. It's not that I don't like them. I just never sat down and took the time to listen to them. So I think
all hail the almighty Norma Jean, man. That's all I have to say. Those guys are so fucking good. But when you see their shows, it does change everything. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's kind of the way I felt about GWAR. Like I tell people about GWAR and they're like, I don't know how to feel about their music, but like they're so good. And then going to see them live, the thing is, you wear a white shirt and then by the time you leave, it's like all these different colors. I remember hearing about them when I was a kid, and then I think I've seen them 5 or 6 times now. Even I want to say once with their new singer, but like their old singer was so much better.
Okay. Kevin is based as fuck. He just dropped Let Live in here, and I was literally just going to talk about Jason Butler, who's like my favorite frontman of all time. Do you know who Let Live is?
No, I can't.
Dude, literally the most insane lead singer of all time. We're talking this dude's running around. He'll like flip himself upside down and into fences. He climbs on shit. Like he'll like beat his head against stuff. Like he's like, dude, absolute insane entertainer. Mm. But he started a new project called Fever 333.
Oh, I know who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Fever 333 is definitely like newer. Like honestly, their newest songs that they just released were not that great. But like when they came out kicking, they're good. Like they're anti-cop. Good. It's good shit. Fever 333 is dope as fuck. Their first show ever. Oh, dude.
Dude hopped an 8-foot fence during the show, grabbed a flower, handed it to a girl, and got back out on stage.
I love that. That's typical for them, probably. But yeah, their first show was at like a donut shop. They rolled up in like a U-Haul truck, opened up the door, and the drummer and their amps were just sitting there, and they just played for like 25, 30 people. And I mean, it was crazy. It had like members from, what was it? Actually, I think the Chariot, Chariot. And then obviously Jason was from Let Live, and I can't remember where their guitarist was from, but yeah, good little power group for sure. Check out Fever 333.
Fuck yeah. Well, I think I got a ton more bands to listen to now. I was about to start a project where we're going to use like 7 strings and shit. So I was listening to a lot of like a Fit for a King, The Ghost Inside.
Do you like Silent Planet?
Who?
Silent Planet.
I've heard of them, but I've never listened to them.
Dude, they just released this song Antimatter, and it is fucking just like,
So I get the feeling, if I remember correctly, the Chariot is like a Christian metal band. Chariot guitar.
And actually, their singer started a project called 68. Luck finding. You'll find their music, but like 68, they're fucking wild too. They're a 2-piece, but they're crazy. They're crazy. Gotcha. Live.
The one band that kind of always my favorite, like Christian metal band, if you will, was always War of Ages, and they just put out a new album. I think their new album just came out like within the last couple days. And, they were always like a drop C kind of band. So the shit wasn't like too deep and like chuggy, but like, I don't know, like a lot of bands are going over like 7 strings and drop tunings. And on one hand, I'm kind of like, the gent route is kind of like, but like they do it well. And I absolutely love their last two records and they're like their four song EP that they put out.
They just did a tour with like Kingdom of Giants. And then my friends are in the band Earth Groans. And those guys are pretty cool too, but War of Ages is dope, dude. They're still out there rocking. They're still touring. So
yes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Do you know the band 156 Silence?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, they're like a hardcore band from around this area and I'm friends with the, I grew up with the bass player. This is where the right wing will always have a blind spot, but the underground determines a mainstream culture and fashion a few years later. I think that's definitely true in the music scene. And that's why I think what Ben is doing is very, very notable and awesome, because I think we totally should have like a huge scene, because I think there's just like a whole untapped audience for Liberty that we just haven't reached yet.
Yeah, man. I mean, and it's not like any flavor of Liberty, like, these people just are sick of the system in general. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, these are my people. These are the people I understand and relate to more than probably anybody. And they're definitely not going to listen to politicians. So why can't it just be other musicians out there talking to them at shows? So
absolutely.
I've been going out to these shows. I've handed out business cards and flyers, I just kind of hang out and make some connections with people. There hasn't really been a show lately where I haven't hung out for at least like a couple hours afterwards outside, not only sobering up, but also just like talking to people about like liberty and anarchy. And that anarchism doesn't mean Antifa.
Right.
It means, you know, like just freedom from government and from government oppression. And, people want that. People want to be able to go homestead and not have to be restricted in doing so. So, it's there's a huge market here, and I'm not like trying to, I'm not trying to like, you know, get too crazy with this, but because I only have so much time. Right. But at the same time, I almost like think this is my thing, bro. Like, I think I just got to run with this and just, keep it going. Cause it's so motivating to just go out and talk to people. And like, I was at at an emo night in Manchester, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And after the show, I just went out and chilled for like two, almost 3 hours outside the show, just talking to random people. They saw my vest. I have like a patch vest that's like anarchist and live free or die and all this shit.
Yeah.
And they're talking to me about, you know, anarchism. And like a lot of these, like people came up to me and like, they said like, oh, I'm an ANCAP. I'm like, oh dude, well, do I got some fucking news for you, bro? You know, and then, you know, a couple of people that were like ANCOMs, and I was like, they're like, oh well, don't tell me you're an ANCAP. And I'm like, well, can we have that conversation once we get past minarchy, or at least to minarchy? Then we can talk about our pipe dreams, okay? Because this shit's never gonna happen. It's not possible. But like, we can all dream, right? But minarchy is not gonna happen. So like, let's be real here. Talking to people even in that side of things, and just like letting them understand that, you know, you shouldn't be making enemies with people who hate the government. We all are against the government, and the only way that you can actually make a difference against that kind of superpower is if everyone's working together for it. This is what I hate about the Libertarian Party, to be honest with you. So, you know, like, we all hate the government probably almost equally as much. But yet we're all just fighting over stupid, like little, you know, critiques of how we're going to get there. And I'm like, can we just like get along for a little bit, man? Like, I don't think it's too much to ask for.
Yeah, so. Dude, I completely agree. So I think that's probably a good place to cap it off, man. I enjoyed the fuck out of this conversation, so we'll definitely have to do another one. Go ahead, give your plugs where everybody can support you, the emo caucus and everything like that, because I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic work.
Thanks. So the emo caucus has a group on Facebook. Just look up the Libertarian Party emo caucus. We do have a Twitter too. Don't really use it that often. My Twitter is the emo ANCAP. That's probably the best place to find me. I'm actually planning to go out and do some emo night DJ sets at LP conventions across the country next year. Yeah, have a good time with that. Live free or cry, baby. That's how you do it.
Beautiful, dude. Yeah, well, I really appreciate your time. And yeah, dude, if you have anything else, we'll close her out and I'll see you on the other side, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Hit all the links below. And until next time, take care, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.